All right, everybody, once again, welcome to the Professional Goblins Podcast, if that's what we technically are. We are a live show. I'm Scott Gladstein. With me, as always, is the awesome, the stupendous, the not looking like a crazy Duke anymore, Mike
No.
Myler.
No, I finally finished my evil book, and so I got to cut my hair.
Nice. And also with us, the burdacious, we'll use the word burdacious, that is a word now.
Good. I'm glad.
Savannah from
Savannah Broadway and my co-pilot Pelly, who has many opinions that I'm sure all of you will hear here soon.
Fantastic. And tonight with us, we have a special guest. We have Robin over here. And Robin, can you tell us why? We all know why you are wonderful and fantastic and special, but can you tell everybody else in the world what it is you do, why it is you do it, and how it is you do it with such style?
Oh, geez, that's a big question. I do a lot of tabletop stuff, obviously. I do all kinds of different role playing. I work with music. The biggest thing that I worked on was the Athera campaign setting, actually. I worked on a whole bunch of stuff in that, and it was a really good time.
Fantastic to hear if you guys are joining us for the first time. Lucky you guys, you're in for a treat. And if you're not, oh God, why are you still with us? We have to do something not wrong, I guess. Anyway, we have a kind of semi-scheduled show. We have a few topics we talk about. Each of us kind of get to yammer on for a few minutes on each of the topics. And man, Mike, we haven't got we're another session without a review. So Owen, come on, man, what? You don't
It's
think you
almost
want
like he's got three jobs and is moving apartments,
to?
and like the world is constantly trying to kill him in some weird way.
Yep.
It really is.
It's like he's a nurgling, or like I don't want to. Okay, no speculation. No speculation. If he were to be with any god, I'm pretty sure it would be Nurgle, like of the dark powers.
I see, I see.
I mean,
See,
that's
I
the
feel
only
like
way you can accomplish so much, I feel like.
Right? And he's
Maybe that's
undying. Nothing can
what
quite kill him because he has
it
Nurgle's blessing, but he also has Nurgle's blessing. So,
was. As it does.
little bit of column A, a little bit of column typhus. So,
Column A, column A plus. Yeah.
So our first section is gaming stories. These are stories that either you yourself have partaken in, or if it's in the past, it's something that you learned something from. Does anyone have something tonight that they kind of want to lead in on?
Robin, do you want to go first?
Oh, all right. So my lesson is one I've kind of learned over the years with several characters, and that's when the DM wants you to do something, just roll with it. I've had a lot of games over the years where somebody would spring something on me. My favorite was a game run, oh gosh, that game is like 10 years old now. It was run by Robert Books, of all people. It was set in a campaign setting of his called Attalus, and I played a character who I thought was just, a normal, well, as normal as you can be, ninja who's run away from her clan and all this stuff. And the DM had greater plans than that, where eventually it was revealed that she was a member of an ancient race that constantly reincarnated, had this whole history I didn't know about. And there are so many people I know that when I tell them that story, like, and you just kind of let that happen. And here's the thing: when the DM wants to do something interesting with you let it happen. Because when you don't, that's when they're like, all right, I'm just going to push you over here for a bit, and I'm going to go do this other interesting plot bit till I figure out something you're going to like.
That's cool. So was it like a Samsaran, or was it something different for the race?
It was something different. It was something homebrewed. I think he put a version of it on his blog at some point. It was called the Cathari Race.
All right, cool.
See, I'm glad like the GM handled that well, because a lot of times it ends up being GM Railroad, and it doesn't go great when they're like, by the way, you're now going to be this race. Oh, great! I'm glad my statistic adjustments changed. I'm a paladin. I have negative 8 charisma. And,
Now, thankfully, I've been blessed with DMs and game masters and wizards or whatever who know what the hell they're doing. And when they don't, they find a way to make it right. So
I think, honestly, most questions of this, or of this is bad, you know, game management really doesn't come down to what they did, but how they did it. Because that's mm-hmm. the difference between a good GM and a bad GM.
So yes, that's my thing. If you're given the opportunity to do something cool, just roll with it.
All right.
Yeah, well, working with the GM is definitely my favorite. I went to one of my GMs and I'm like, okay, so Strahd turned my warlock into a rabbit, and like I got better, but I want him to be a rabbit later. Can he be a rabbit later? I went and looked up all the stuff about like rabbit body language. I want to be a rabbit again.
That's what were-rabbits are for, obviously.
Oh, that would be hilarious. He would be the most angry were-bunny. The most angry. Also, can you believe that rabbits have 13 dexterity?
Really? Only?
What? I know!
More than that.
I mean, if you made a rabbit human-sized.
Right, but I was a rabbit-sized rabbit, and I had 13 dex. I was trying to dodge a fireball, man. It got important. Real quick. So I would say that my favorite character for this session is probably, I'm in a game where it's a cyberpunk-esque setting, but we're not the punks. And so the GM proposed this and we're like, okay, so we're the bad guys? And she's like, no, you think that you're the good guys. You're just like, you know, scions or attaches or whatever to like this rich family. And, you know, you go around doing, like, the, what do they call it, noblesse oblige, where, you know, sort of the client patron, like, we have to do things for the little people because, you know, we have to. So we get to go out and do stuff like that. And it's like, well, I still think that we're the bad guys, but okay. But I found that my favorite merit in World of Darkness Mortal is high-performance driving. Because only one dot in it allows you to drive a vehicle at its max speed as though it were its safe speed.
Sounds like Car Wizard.
Basically, I ported in Tilla from Hypercore. And she's just, you know, zooming around at 120 miles an hour like it's no big deal. And pulling weird-ass smuggler's turns at speed, and it's good, I like it.
So basically, it's a Fast and the Furious movie.
Yeah, basically. The GM's like, okay, so what do you want this to be? And we decide cyberpunk, pulp, and car chases. So...
So that's the Fast and the Furious 12, where there's some car races on like, space stations. They have to ramp off instead of one building to the other.
They're going from station to moon. You're on the highway as Cloud, just smacking people with that fucking sword.
There you go. So I've been running a game. Told you guys a little bit about it last time, but basically the premise is that these guys are working for another big important person who's up on the top. There's these islands that goes down to a storm-torn planet. They killed a god who was imprisoned, and the storm cleared up. And then they went to, they crossed the vast desert, they fought some snakes and did it tactically. These guys are new. There's a new druid, and he killed the shit out of things. It was amazing. Pulled animal. All right, snake's done. But what I want to talk about today is a bit that I had fun with, so they have this guy who named Hans, who is their kind of contact with their boss person. And it turns out he really didn't get approval to go down there, and they all kind of fucked it up. And now he's like, "Oh my god, we're so screwed." I was trying to get myself back in the good graces. But the thing is, though, this is a story about how to turn an NPC into something memorable. So I knew I was going to insert this character, but I wasn't going to insert it at that point until I saw the player's reaction to her. She was a suave, kind of like take no shit top bitch, economic minister kind of person. But she kind of played it like she was almost like like a crime boss, except she was sitting there with like a long cigarette, like a long stem cigarette, and she was just like, fuck you. She told a 16-year-old to go fuck themselves. Because that was wonderfully wonderful. Oh no, she's 18 now, she changed it. But anyway, and she was snarky and sweet, and then halfway through I'm just like, oh Hans, is that you? Oh my god, this is gonna be wonderful. And you're just like, you want, like, it was like shark meat, like tiny baby seal, because Hans is like trying to act all nice, but it turns out she's his big sister, and she just wrecked the shit out of him in front of everybody. So it was great smearing my own ego with my own ego. I got to destroy myself socially. And well, all my players watched. No, but I think they liked her more than they liked him, even though she was clearly the evil bitch. So she,
I mean,
she made
I like her better already, frankly.
Hans wears poofy clothing and a mask and has birds on his shoulder, so I don't know, maybe that'll sway you.
The birds are a compelling argument.
It is. But yeah, no, Sasha was her name, and Sasha was amazing. Sasha will be inevitably back. I don't know how I'm getting her back, but she's going to be in there and just like taunting the players the entire time. That's what I got this week. Mike, what are you up to other than shaving your head and putting out big scary books?
Did I talk about Murtaugh last week?
Refresher?
I don't think so.
Captain Murtaugh is a great example of what to do if you're like me, who is terrible about working with the GM and the rest of the table. Because if you just let me go, I inevitably will go towards chaotic.
Don't let Mike go. Don't do it.
Savannah's run this one adventure like how many?
He punched a horse. He dove out a window, punched
it's
a horse,
like
and said it owed him money.
3-hour adventure, and we did it in 16 or something. Because Ragman demanded it. But so yeah, I was like, all right, guys, like I'm gonna play something way out of the line here.
So just in line with Mike.
Good character. And I was like, okay, well, how can I play a lawful good character and not just, you know, be Mike here? And so I just copied one that I really like. And the one that I really like, I was like, okay, who's the lawful good character I like most in cinema and stuff that will work with the rest of the party and not like steal the show? Captain Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon. So I've been playing Captain Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon in a medieval City Watch game. And I'm like the lieutenant always losing my shit over like the rest of the party not following regulations or like trying to get one up on the guard. And I'm like super, like all he wants to do is retire and collect his pension. That's
oh no.
It.
And he's gonna dive in. Like you're gonna die.
Everywhere. And they're like finding these horns that summon the dark god of the storms and shit. And then, oh well, we could use all the horns to get an airship that flies. And he's like, nope, no, we ain't doing that. Let's get the horns of the people who can protect them, and we'll just call it a day. Like, he has no interest in this stuff. And I was like, guys, if you guys want to do Sky Pirates, that's great. I will make a new character for this. But Captain Murtaugh has zero interest whatsoever in flying off into the aether. He's about to retire. He's got like 5 kids. They're hell. Like, yeah. And I ended up doing like really cheap shit with him. So like he's a second level fighter and then like a second level paladin. And then like I picked up Eldritch Knight archetype. So like he's got divine and arcane spells. And he's just this like terrible mishmash of responsibility.
So to piggyback on that, Mike,
and I really enjoy playing him, which is weird for me because like I hate lawful good characters, but like I really like Captain Murtaugh. So if you're having trouble finding a character you enjoy playing, and everyone wants you to play a specific alignment, try to think of a character you like from popular media of that alignment, and then port them into the world and play that character.
So, Mike, I have a friend of mine who's a security guard at a prison. And he literally posted on Facebook that he's like 5 days from retiring. I'm like, no, Richard, don't do it. No,
don't do it.
Don't go to work.
That is what we call tempting fate.
I know.
No.
Yeah.
He's like, they might transfer me to Mike. I mean, like, Richard, don't say anything. Stop. Get sick. Don't go in. It doesn't help.
The great GM in the sky heard you, and now you are plotting.
Why would you post this on Facebook? You know, people meme like. I love Richard, but Richard, if you died, I would, in your honor, because he's a total geek, I would take, like, a picture of that and put, like, a picture next to it, and like, of his obituary, and just be like, he had 5 days left before he retired. and just make a meme out of it. And he, and from up, he looked down at me being like,
I gotta decide if I want to have Murtaugh die in like glory or get to retire. Oh God, that's gonna be a hard choice.
I think you should let the adventure decide, though.
I mean, I know what the adventure's gonna decide because we're going into orc territory, and like deep in orc territory. So, oh, like,
we can't stop here. This is orc country.
Yeah,
no, you can't.
We'll see. I will update y'all on the
fate. I mean, does his family get his pension if he dies gloriously?
I think so. And he also like took all the money they got from like we could have walked away with like 30,000 gold from pirates, and he's like, no. We gotta turn this in, and the rest of the party's like, no, and he's like, on the box, turning it in. So we only got like 1,000 gold piece, and they're all like buying magic items and stuff, and he's like, I'm like, all right. So Murtaugh sighs, and then like takes the money to his wife, and is like, okay, so where are we gonna keep this money for you? And then put it in a bank account. So like, that's what he did with his treasure.
Put it in a bank
account for his wife.
Amazing.
Yeah. Murtaugh's great. Like, just find that character archetype you really enjoy and just dig your heels in.
So, are we ready to move on to the next section?
Yeah.
Sweet. Favorite working project?
Favorite working project. Mike, I think you just had a favorite working project.
Yes.
And it might be on, like, being Kickstarted or something. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, no. That's, I'm not talking about that here. I'm talking about what came out on Friday.
Oh.
So, this is the Book of Exalted Darkness. It is amazing. I couldn't make the Book of Vile Darkness because it's not, this is for 5th edition, because Book of Vile Darkness is not OGL. Mm-hmm. So I made the Book of Exalted Darkness, which is definitely not the Book of Vile Darkness
completely
for 5th
different.
Edition. It's completely different.
Totally different.
It is so different. There's a campaign setting inside that's all decopunk that you are kind of there to destroy as villains.
Sweet.
And that is literally the coolest thing.
It is. And there's justification for being evil. So like, all of the technology runs on this stuff called an aqua, and it gives off a radiation that elongates the lives of creatures that are good of heart. So evil is just kind of like dying out. And you're one of the last evil people around, trying to like restore the balance.
And Mike, it's finally out.
It's finally out. It's finally already got out. 2 reviews. It's 5 for 5 so far from everybody. It's 414 pages. It's fucking gorgeous. Let me just find the one piece where she did all, where all the celestial heroes are by one another, because that's the one that like captures
Mike,
the art
you
style.
You should post it on the feed because we don't have a very good quality camera from you.
Oh, you can kind of see that.
See it, that's still pretty rad.
Yeah, she really killed the decopunk style.
Oh man.
Yeah. And it's almost, I mean, like I did a really good job. I use a lot of different artwork normally, but only very specific pieces made it onto the good pages that were not done by Indy Martin. And then the evil pages, it kind of goes all over the place for art. But yeah, I don't know. I'm super proud of it.
Mike, check it out. Can you guys hear on the stream, by the way? Is everything good?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't check.
Just double check. But yeah, so yeah, I'm excited for that too. I've done wonderful. Thanks, Mike. Sorry about that. I've done evil shit too. And it's what, hell, I told you I ran the evil game at one point. I was kind of like, man, if that book was out.
Yeah. I'd like to do it for Pathfinder, but they have rules about that would stop me from giving you rules for making baby cloaks.
And no, like, they're not cloaks for babies, they're cloaks of babies.
Mm. Yes, it's true. Yes. Cloaks
important
of
important distinction.
Yes. For the babies.
In fact, they would, well, no, see, then you'd be giving character options to babies, which they also have concerns about. Although they do have that, like, no, they've been easier on the guys making the like the kid adventures.
Yeah, like, but that's because they're like,
because you are the protagonist then, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so. And it's also not about, you know, stripping down the skin off the children.
It's true. Yeah. Cannibalist warlocks over there in the kids' games for Pathfinder.
No.
Unfortunately. That would have been my
fucking Mike, even better,
by the way. Yeah. 9-year-old Mike would have sat down and been like, I worship the meat. I eat everything I kill. Like,
I'm not surprised at any of that.
So, Savannah, Robin, do you guys get something you're going on?
Robin, you want to go first?
So I recently, like a month and a half ago, we finished turnovers for the Athera Field Guide, which is a kind of bestiary. It's almost like the Monster Codex. For the creatures of Athera, there's a lot of new and interesting stuff in it that hasn't really been seen before. I know I got to work on some just fabulous ideas that I hope I hope make the cut into the final book.
This is a space deco punk campaign yes. setting for those of you.
A lot of deco punk. That's weird.
Oh, it's not. It's amazing. It's one of the best settings I've ever seen.
No. I mean, just the fact that we have two deco punk things.
Oh.
And I don't think there's any other deco punk things I can think of off the top of my head. Like,
If you go on the indie RPGs, you might have better luck.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue, please.
But I mean, I'd never worked on monsters before working on that book, so that was a trip. It's an interesting experience making monsters for the first time, I have to say, but it was very enlightening and extremely fun. And I think people are going to be really pleased with some of the more unique things that are in that book.
Pathfinder is amazing for making monsters, by the way. Mm-hmm. We got spoiled by Pathfinder's monster creation system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
And that generator I posted up last week is awesome.
Yeah.
Open source.
Ooh, do you know when that comes out?
No.
I don't. I believe that that's still in development. I can't speak too deeply on that, unfortunately.
It's okay. Just wondering for folks who might be curious.
All right. I'll mention it.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of a good segue. So I've been mentioning the Neverending Dungeon that's actually coming out Sunday. It would have come out last Sunday, but we decided we need another editing pass on it, two editing passes.
Yeah.
But we decided better put it in the oven for a little bit longer. It's part build your own dungeon, part self-generating dungeon, part scientific paradox, part insectoid horror game. I don't know. It's weird and it's wonderful. And like the basic premise is you're going into a tomb of a demi. It's a mid-level thing. So you're going to a demi plane. So it's only kind of technically a dungeon. It's more of a prison for some ancient god. And the way it works is that if the god was to keep going, it would keep expanding to contain him. So every time you go to a new sector, it self-generates. But the twist is that everything that happened in that sector, it has always existed. So it retroactively changes things. Okay, so cool. Stuff like, and there's like changes to the dungeon. So it's like one of them is like, okay, so now everyone's actually of this race. And they always have been. And they are completely unaware of any, the players are not affected by this. So the players are just like, no, you were a troll. I know you were a troll. And they're like, my name's Frank, the troll. I'm clearly an elf. And they're like, that's not how this works.
And sounds like a troll.
Except it is.
And they are completely unaware of the horrific bug creatures maintaining it. The caretakers, and there's some nightmare fuel there, guys. Talk about making monsters. Horrific double-headed centipede things, spider legs, like daddy long leg legs. Yeah, but anyway, horror shit. A lot of horror stuff, and no one else can see them. And they're very sneaky, and they can modify memory and horrifying things. It's really wonderful. Rui Fiera did all the artwork for it. He did the cover. We have about 30 maps in there, 25 maps in there. For like sector layouts and stuff. That's coming out Sunday. And on the first, we have our April Fool's book, Ziggy's Guide
Are we going to have another show before the first?
I think, do we have another show before the first?
I think you scheduled it earlier today.
Oh, we did. We have Dakota Kraut coming on. I'll talk about that one a little bit more then. That'll be fun. It's a good humor book, but it's not only April 1st stuff. So Savannah, you got anything on your plate?
Nothing new. Working on the Lost Age stuff, editing, making sure style guide's all set up, because one thing you don't think about a lot of the times is that making a style guide is important.
Oh, yes.
Like, as someone who has worked with a lot of, like, pre-set up stuff, like, you know, Pathfinder has one, da-da-da, but it's kind of like for Athera, you know, kind of a whole new thing had to be made, so that's this, except for also mechanics.
Speaking of which, I'm getting notifications as we're going that my editor is working and telling me things to change.
Oh, good.
So you're talking about, let's do the editing and follow the style guideline. And I'm like, Ian, I'm sorry, buddy.
But yeah, that's what it is. Keith is planning to add a third section because he doesn't love himself enough.
Never.
But you know, that's all
it's
I get.
Good idea. It's really hard to abandon it once you have it.
Mm-hmm. You of all people, Mike, I'm sure would sympathize.
So, do we want to talk about our favorite new project that's not ours?
Yes. I have something cheeky.
Sure. What is cheeky?
The Culinary Magic Cookbook is now available in print.
Oh.
I know his name. I play games with him sometimes. Son of a bitch.
That was not his name.
No, Wendell Roy. It's not Wendell Roy, is it?
It's not Winfield, no.
No. Alex Shanks-Abel. Yes. Alex Shanks-Abel, who's been on the show at some point, I feel, has worked on this. And if you want something to just add flavor to your Pathfinder game, it is the perfect thing.
I see what you did there. That was delicious, Mike.
Thank you.
I'm going to have trouble swallowing those puns.
I'm not going to say they're the spice of life.
Let's not be gluttons. Come on.
So, Savannah, save us from this tailspin.
We become the professional goblins? Is that where this is going?
No.
Savannah, save us from this tailspin.
I'm so sad. Okay, fine. Let's see. Kobold Press. This was actually for a previous show that I don't think I actually talked about it. Eldritch Layers is out, so that's awesome. From Kobold Press. It's for 5e, I believe. And, you know, how can you not want something that has the tagline of the schemes of a demon cult of thieves and unscrupulous wizards?
That sounds like a pretty good tagline.
I'm very down on that. And also, what did I have? Oh, the Midgard World Book is also out, since I'm on a kobold kick. I recently saw a picture of it, including the cat. Apparently the cat is not included, but it does look really good.
The cat or the book?
Yes.
Good. So
cats are the best cats. It's just science.
Oh, you want to talk about Mass Effect?
It's not new. It's not new at all, but Starfinder's still new to me, and someone came up with all the races for Mass Effect.
Good.
Which I had not heard about until this, and that is the coolest thing on earth.
I did the races from Star Trek as Pathfinder races. So I saw this the other day. I'm like, oh my god, that's so cool! And now I just want to run a Mass Effect game with Starfinder. It would not be hard to do.
Okay, so is it 3 or 4 years ago, Savannah, where the Mass Effect RPG won a ton of Emmy awards?
I know.
I honestly have zero clue. I didn't know there was a Mass Effect RPG.
There's a Mass Effect fan RPG that got submitted for a bunch of Emmy awards and won them. And then everybody found out that like they didn't have the licensing or the rights to use any of the artwork or anything like that. Yeah. And so I think it's still floating around. And to their credit, it was really nice, even though
it was highly definitely legal
and presented as a real product. Yeah. So check out the Mass Effect RPG, everybody, if you can find it.
Yep. Well, it's glad totally I'm not legal. That behind.
So Robin, what do you got that you're not involved with?
I'm a bit behind on my releases and books. The last thing I picked up was actually, I think it came out in December, but I didn't pick it up until January and look at it. And that was the expanded New Paths compendium that Kobold Press put out, since there's been a lot of Press tonight. And that book was absolutely fantastic. I love the original, with the particularly seeing a class dedicated to a good necromancer was always something that I enjoyed. But the new classes that were in the New Paths Compendium Expanded were fantastic. I was so happy to see a Pathfinder version of the Warlock among the Trickster, and so many other neat things were in that book.
Cool.
Yes, that sounds very good.
We've talked about that one a few times in the show, I think. It's a really solid book. So I think we're on a Pathfinder and Starfinder stuff tonight.
Although I'm woefully out of touch.
So long story short, they announced a bunch of new shit for Starfinder that's coming out. I think we'll go into that a lot deeper in a week or two on stuff, but we're not going to touch second edition today because we're going to let it kind of accumulate and, you know, I'm sure we'll have a slow burn on that.
Can't even talk about the opportunity attacks thing.
Okay, go for it, dude. Go for it.
Okay, so apparently attacks of opportunity are now going to have to be an earned ability. It's like fighters get it off the bat, but like your wizard won't get to just like up and whack somebody with their staff as a opportunity attack. Which I'm still, I don't know. I'm on the fence. Like I can see that being a very good idea. I can also see that being really annoying. But like how much of the table time do you spend being like figuring out your freaking movement so you don't provoke attacks of opportunity?
Yeah. That depends on your group because my groups can spend forever on that if you let them.
So honestly, it's one of those things where it's like, that also has another layer though, where it's like, you don't know if something has an attack of opportunity.
It's true.
So you're like, yeah. I probably shouldn't go near the fighter dude, but fuck the wizard dude. I'm going to run right by him, you know?
Surprise, he took that as a feat.
Yeah.
It's a very logical idea. I can see why they're doing it that way. It's like everything else, the second edition. I'm interested to see how it shapes up.
Yeah, I read the fighter post, but that's the only one I really dug into.
I've been reading a bunch of them. I think I missed most. I kind of skimmed that one, honestly. I've looked over the entire thing, and you know what? It's one of those things where it's like, I'm getting really excited. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. But I'm like,
put it in the pack for 9 months.
I'm like, let's see what happens when it actually comes out and how they play together. Because one miscalculation on that thing, simplicity is really easy to screw up, and it feels like it's going for the simple, but really kind of a very simple to learn, hard to master thing. And that is a very narrow bridge to walk across, you know?
Well, and it's just, I'm trying not to let myself get too excited about stuff in advance because I remember getting excited for other games that then they came out and they were completely different.
Fourth Ed was the ultimate expression of Hasbro, is what that was.
No, I got faith in them. I think they're going to do pretty good. I'm psyched about it.
Yeah.
Oh, can we talk about the bleary-eyed game thing, finally?
I have no idea what that is.
Can we talk about you don't know what the bleary-eyed game thing is?
I do not know what this is.
Okay, so I'm going to read the post. It's on the Paizo boards.
It's a mystery publishing company?
Okay, so here. Someone asks, Dungeon Master Cal, does anyone know of a gaming company, possibly publisher, called Bleary Eyed Games? They have a wiki, but it's evidently for members only, and didn't find a way to request admission or sign up. The only reason I ask is I'm getting their mail. It's coming to an address to a guy named Tim Jenkins, but it has my address on the incoming mail. I'd like to pass it along. I just know what the hell's going on. Apparently, this is on the Paizo boards, and apparently they own a domain and the register information's... And they're getting like OSHA letters and shit. And no one knows who, like, everyone's trying to figure out who Bleary Eyed Games are. And it's just kind of this creepy pasta, like, who the fuck are they? I think someone should just make Bleary Eyed Games at this point and be like, it was me the whole time.
That's bizarre.
Isn't it?
That is very weird.
That's definitely very strange.
Like, someone should just wear their skin and roll their dice and. It's weird that I think that rolling their dice is a little bit weirder than wearing their skin. But yeah, if you're Bleary Eyed Games, come on the show. We want to know what the truth is. Tell us your truth.
Reveal the truth to us.
Yeah, mail the truth to us along with an OSHA poster.
Better and yet, you know, you don't even have to come on webcam if you want to retain your anonymity, but like, we gotta know.
You know we're gonna get like some weird, like, shadowy figure, like, just like... Like with a voice, like, this is Bleary Eyed Games.
Have we really made it as a web show if we haven't had a mysterious figure on?
No.
Some like deep throat looking dude.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like has to like clearly or just be wearing a mask, LED eyes. Just... Hey Mike, hashtag I figured out our next when we get a review, I figured out who's gonna be invited to review something.
Noob Saibot.
Good.
So yeah, I don't know. I've said that for a while. Do we want to do 5e stuff? Or we still want to talk more about Pathfinder?
I think that's kind of all there is to say.
Yeah, but like I'm gearing up to take Varanthea into Pathfinder 2e, but like that's 9 months, 8 months away before I can start really thinking about it.
Yeah, one of the things just to keep in mind for all third-party people is you have to be compatible with second edition, not the playtest. That's not the full version.
Yeah.
So you can't release stuff until it is out, and that's like a year away.
I can make a large, large outline.
Yeah, that's what I think we should do. Like I remember we did that with the APG. Which one had firearms? Was that that's Ultimate Combat, right?
Ultimate Combat.
Yeah, so we did it with Ultimate Combat. We had the playtest stuff, and we wrote some stuff up. We waited till it released, and then we were like, okay, tweak, and put it out the next week. And so that's what a lot of people are going to do for Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
We are. We'll take some names because we're still trying to figure out what to call Varanthia Codex Pathfinder 2E.
I still like Oceans of Turmoil, but
Oceans of Turmoil, was that suggested?
I didn't see Oceans of Turmoil. I feel like it was suggested.
Oh snap, that might be a really good one.
No, but there we go. We just need to revisit it.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I'd like to get Rune in there somewhere, but it's so hard to get a Rune title without just being hokey at this point.
I mean, that's also true.
Rune Jiggers, like, what do you call it? Honestly, what else do you call it, guys?
Mike, that sounds like a racial slur, man. I don't know.
I don't know what else to go with. Because, like, everything else is just so bland and overused. You'd be like, Rune Jiggers? What the fuck is that?
It sounds suspiciously like something nasty someone would call gnomes.
I was going to say a dwarf, like, those goddamn Rune Jiggers. They sit in their cave all day.
Yeah, it's like, Grandpa, no, stop.
I might have to remember that for my campaign.
That's it's not a racial slur against dwarves and gnomes. This is great. Thanks, Mike. Adding new content even while on air.
Good times.
Sometime we have to do the Tome of the Professional Goblins and just include all the weird shit that happens.
Oof, that'd be a very large tome.
That would be a really large tome.
I mean, it'd be perfect for Mike, but, you know, the rest of us might have trouble.
I have so many other things on my plate. No.
All right, so what's going on with 5th edition? Or 5th edition.
Oh, the saga of the DM's Guild continues.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Another publisher emailed DriveThru and was like, hey, you guys are auto-generating links and stuff, and I don't want my stuff to like look like it appears on DM's Guild. And they're like, don't worry about it, it's a feature. So that's three times. And I was like, okay. So I emailed WotC's legal department, and I was like, hey, I hope you're having a nice day. I have no desire to have a lawsuit against you. But you should know that you guys are misrepresenting the way the DM's Guild functions by auto-generating links from one bookshelf sites. And while I, again, do not want a lawsuit or have the money to do one, there are people who do, and eventually one of them is going to take up arms here. So could you please just ask one bookshelf to fix what is definitely not a super hard problem to fix, because they keep ignoring us three times now. So I expect WotC's legal department to do something, because WotC's legal department is like
a bunch of hungry
bane. Yeah, they should handle it soon. But I mean, like I've run into like a dozen people who thought that the only place they could publish is on the DM's Guild, and they gave up their creative ideas to the DM's Guild when they did that.
Don't do it.
I actually had an interesting situation with that this week, right? Or maybe last week. So I have a fan who likes to do conversions of our stuff to 5e, and
he would try to put it on DM's Guild.
Well, they asked me about it, and I said, look, you actually don't have the rights to do that. And they went, what do you mean? It's OGL. I'm like, first off, you can reference my stuff. And I personally said, go do whatever you need to. But you can't give my rights away to a product that I wrote to – you don't have the authority to give that to DM's Guild.
Yeah.
So and I felt bad because their stuff is really cool. And they're using Magic the Gathering art. And I'm like, I don't think you can use that either.
No,
to be fair, they didn't know that that they were using Magic the Gathering art. They thought it was something from somewhere else. But no, it's actually pretty cool watching them convert stuff. I'm like, I get to have a fangasm from my own stuff. But they didn't know. They were like, really? That's how that works. I linked to the page. We're like, oh.
Did you just also bookmark my complaining post on
Facebook? No, I haven't. But Mike, you have taught me much about that. I basically gave them a mic. And to be fair, if you're watching this person who you know who you are, you're awesome. Keep doing your thing. I will keep supporting you. And hell, if you want me to give you the art, I will give you the art to publish that for. And it's cool to see some of the stuff go up. But I'm just like, technically, legally, please don't. But hell, I wouldn't mind them putting up not little red versions of that, switching the names.
I mean, they can do it on 5e compatible.
Yep. Just not. I told them. Anywhere but DM's Guild. It cannot go on DM's Guild.
Makes me so sad. All right.
It does.
Something less sad. Morton Cotton's Tome of Foes is coming out.
I like Morton Cotton's Tome of Phones. That's even better.
I'd take that. I go after Tome of Phones.
I can finally get stats for how my iPhone is against a Pixel.
That's true.
See, I was going to say that it's actually just like a big leather, like big yellow, like phone book, like New York City phone book.
Good.
Tome of Phones. It's like how in the SCA they refer to Facebook as the Tome of Faces.
Yes.
So Mike, tell us about this.
I think it's just another B-story, isn't it?
Okay.
I'm hoping it's at least like Volos, where it had kind of some player stuff at the front and a bit and a little bit of more freeform rules at the back, and then like the middle chunk was pure bestiary. I hope they keep mixing it up a little bit rather than doing just a pure book. I mean, it's always nice to have more pages dedicated to monsters, but with the slow release for 5e stuff, it's always nice to get more stuff that I can use as a player in any book. Plus it gets more people to buy stuff. So
I'm glad we didn't bother doing the devils and stuff, because guess what is in this book?
Oh, well, there we go.
Pathfinder, the Starfinder based theory, the less excited I am about it. There's a lot of like how to build your stuff. I'm like, but I just want a pre-made stat block. I need something where oh here it is, you know. Like, it's really easy and simple to make, but I really wish they'd used a little bit more of that book for, here's 500 more monsters, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I feel about 5e in general. Like, I know you weren't referencing 5e, it just seems like that's how it is. Like, with the backgrounds and the paladin oaths, like, none of it's complicated to make your own, but damn it, I don't want to make my own. I just want there to be a standard bodyguard background that I can just have. I don't want to make it up. Though I suppose it would probably be more fun to make up if I didn't generally get paid for making that shit up.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got to turn to the hypercore stuff for Starfinder. And like, I have it on schedule. I swear to God, it's on schedule for next month that I have to have Starfinder read.
Ooh.
One of the things you brought up was that with the options and, 5e. I always have this weird thing where it's like, I really like 5e because it's like, it has the simple and easy, like, what happens in this situation? You get advantage. What happens in this situation? You get disadvantage. Mm-hmm. But there's something to be said that I really gravitate towards in the, here's 400 talents for your class. Go select one. And by the way, you can always take a combat feat instead, Mr. Rogue, or a ninja trick, or like, that's something I really gravitate towards, because I like to scroll through the list and go, oh my God, Vomit Twin is a spell. and that's one of the things, like, when I play 5e, I'm always kind of like reaching for it, and like they're like, well, it's open-ended, you can do all this stuff. I'm like, great, now tell me the crazy weird shit, because I got the toolbox. Now show me what I can make with the toolbox, the 500 things I can.
So like, the fundamental difference between Paizo's stuff and WotC's recent stuff, if you think in like you have a horse tail brush, it's being held up by electromagnetic energy, right? So It's flailed out. It's a wider flail, no matter what level you're looking at with Pathfinder and Starfinder, because of all those situational things. Mm-hmm. Where in 5e, it's like you're shooting a crossbow in the middle of a windstorm while you leap off the back of a truck and you have True Strike cast. So even though you have five reasons for disadvantage, your True Strike cancels it out, because that's how it works. And it's good for simplicity, but it leaves like a lot of the design play space you have inside of encounters, it just narrows.
When in doubt, advantage.
Yeah.
So, anything else for 5e?
There's not official news, I don't think.
You have unofficial news, Mike?
I have some official RPG news.
Oh, go for
that
it.
I know that nobody else does.
Yeah.
Rob Schwab is about to open up a store on his website for third-party products for Shadow of the Demon Lord. Cool. And I know that because I have the first one.
Sneaky bastard. I love it.
Yes.
I still got to play a game with you guys of Shadow of the Demon Lord. I still haven't played it.
It's really good.
I've never had the chance to play it, but it seems like a very interesting game.
Like, if there's anything you've sold me on, it's that 5e, or sorry, I shouldn't publish in the DMs Guild, and that I should play Shadow of the Demon Lord and that Muppet Christmas Carol is the second best Muppet movie. But I mean, other than that,
oh, the can of worms.
Why you gotta be trying to play me, son?
What's wrong? Well, I'll try to play Shadow Demon Lord. How's that? I'll play that.
Yeah, it's cool. The initiative system's great. You just decide when you're gonna go in a turn with the rest of your party, and the character creation is a little tricky to get your hands on, like get your hands all around it. But once you do, you're like, oh shit, this is brilliant. It's like like an Erector set. You get it and you're like, oh great, I can make boxes. And then like a month later, you've got fucking Ferris wheel and everything going.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that. Any other
RPG news?
Broad-based RPG news. I'm the editor for a thing, but we talked about that last time. I'm good.
Okay. See, other media of interest.
Let's see. New Jessica Jones season is out, and it was pretty damn good.